In this chapter, Yahweh is speaking unto the descendants of the Abraham, unto a generation that is following after righteousness. We now need to find, in a stream of the time, the exact generation that this generation here addresses. Is it the people of the Moses time, of the Isaiah's time, of the Apostles' time, of our time, or of some other time? If the chapter is addressed unto us, then our need of studying the chapter and our interest in it will be infinitely greater than it would be otherwise, for the information we are seeking is found in verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Yeshua the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of the trembling and run them out, Isaiah 51:17. For this verse reveals that the Yahweh is speaking unto a people who have gone through all the trials, hardships, captivity, and persecution a lot of them to go through for their sin and disobedience. They have drunk of the dregs of the cup of the trembling and even run them out. At long last there are no more dregs left in the cup. This could not be said unto the people in the Moses' time, nor in the Isaiah's time, nor even in the Apostles' time. It could not be said unto any people at any time, but unto those who have come unto the time of their liberation from the want, fear, and insecurity which they have created through their sin and rebellion. For the divine calling to awake, however, reveals that though the time of the deliverance has come, yet they are in the deep spiritual sleep, ignorant of these good tidings. This is the Yeshua. Well, let's do it again. This is the Yahweh, Thus saith Yeshua the Son, and thy Yahweh the Father, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Isaiah 51:22. For the Yahweh, you see, positively addressed the people who have already taken all the punishment they ought to take, and at long last, he is pleading their cause. This cannot be said at any time unto any people heretofore. How do we know that the time is here and that the Yahshua is now speaking unto us? For we know from the fact that these long concealed prophecies on this subject are now for the first time being unfolded and brought unto our attention, for we are now ready for the studying of the chapter verse by verse, Isaiah 51 verse 1 and 2. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after the righteousness of the Yahshua through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Ye that seek the Yahshua, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit which whence you are dead. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For Yahweh advised his people of today to hearken unto him. They are those who are endeavoring for the obtaining of the righteousness by the faith and blood of the Yahshua. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19-20. Those who are seeking the Yahshua and who are anxious for the having of a revival and reformation among them, for they are now urged to look unto the rock. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for Yahshua is that rock in the cloud that went with Moses down into Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. So it was the power of the Spirit that Yahshua had that brought them out by his blood, which they are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence they are digged. Okay, it says, we are not for the concluding that the Jews are as the only descendants of the Abraham, for those who are fortunate enough for the having of this revelation brought unto them are the people. That would be the house of David then. That's who I represent. There is no other safe conclusion if the Yeshua causes the prophecy to be written, sealed, and then unsealed. Let's do that again. There is no other safe conclusion for the Yahweh the Father is with the causing of the prophecies to be written by the Moses, sealed and then unsealed at his will and at the time appointed. For the Jews, therefore, are not the only descendants of the Abraham. I want to correct this here, Yahweh the Father. He said, let's do that again. For there is no other safe conclusion for the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, is with the dictating the Bible unto the Moses, causing the prophecies to be written by the Moses, sealed and then unsealed at his will and at the time appointed. For the Jews, therefore, are not as the only descendants of the Abraham, for the finding who these seekers of the righteousness really are, there are several genealogical facts for the considering. Number one, only the citizens of the everlasting kingdom of the Judah, house of David, the lawgiver, and the 12th parabolic hour, representing the two-tribe kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, are with the receiving of the title, title Jews, okay, Jews. Number two, those of the 10-tribe kingdom receiving the title of the kingdom of Israel, and Samaria as their headquarters, whereas kingdom of Judah is a headquarters in Jerusalem, were scattered among the nations, and they completely lost their identity. That's the 10 tribes. They were scattered among the Assyrian nations in the north from where they lived. Number three, for the apostolic church herself is an upshoot of the Jewish congregation and nation. For the apostles and her followers, of the apostles and her followers, up unto about 35 A.D. were all of the tribe of Judah, the two tribes, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, of the house of David, I might add. They were the apostles, the upshoots of the Pharisees. And it was that again a multitude of the Jews lost their identity by the calling themselves Christians. Okay, so they decided they want to be recognized as of the Hebrew Israelite nation, so they had their names changed to Christians, meaning followers of Christ, coming out of the Christ era. Comparatively speaking, only a few of the Jews from the kingdom of the Judah have preserved their national title as Jews. For the descendants of the early apostolic Jews and the descendants of the 10 tribes down the stream of the time must have increased unto a great and innumerable multitude, for the Abraham's seed was to be as the sand of the sea for the multitude. For it is therefore obvious that the few identified Jews of today are not as the only descendants of the Abrahams, but that many of the Gentiles must be of the Abraham seed. Since this mixed up situation exists, hardly any one can really say for sure that he is not one of the Abraham's children. Perhaps many of the nations whom the world calls Gentiles are the children of the Abraham. We do not know for sure who is who. Yahweh, however, has kept a perfect genealogical record, for he said, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon unto them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia this man was born there, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her, for the Yahshua shall count when he riseth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Psalms 87:4-6. Furthermore, though one be of the Gentile blood, if he truly accepts the Yahshua, he by his spiritual birth becomes of the seed of Abraham, for it says the inspiration, if you be the Yahshua, if you belong unto the Yahshua as a descendant of his seed, then you are the seed of David and back to Abraham. Then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. For the children of the Abraham here addressed, therefore, are not for the being sought among the identified unbelieving Jews, but among the Christians, those that have amalgamated into the Protestants of all the Protestant churches along with the Catholic Church, for they are admonished to look unto Abraham and Sarah and unto to consider that when Yahweh called Abraham, though he was alone, he nevertheless obeyed, and Yahweh blessed him, that in spite of all the apparent impossibilities with both him and Sarah, he increased him. What if you personally and alone were called by his word, as was Abraham, to stand alone for the truth and righteousness? Would you be a Hebrew for the Yahweh, as was Abraham, or would you do as did the backsliding Judah Iscariot? If we were not privy to choose as was Abraham, Yahweh would not have reminded us of Abraham's experience. We are plainly told not to lose courage, but to have faith in the Yahweh, for he intends to bless and increase us as he blessed and increased our ancestors, for the Abraham and Sarah, for the reason he gives for the blessing us as he blessed them is this, Isaiah 51:3, for the Asher shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Okay, this is Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver. Yahshua sitting up on the throne of David. That's the reason why it says he's in charge here. It says, for Yahshua shall comfort the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. For he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like the Eden and her desert like the garden of the Yahweh, like the Garden of Eden. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and a voice of the melody. For the focal point of the scriptures is the rebuilding of the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, Zion, anciently. We're going to build a new one. That's what it's called, the rebuilding. And that is our charge. Isaiah 51:4-5. Hearken unto me, and my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgments to rest for a light of the people, for my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth. This is by the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. That's his salvation that he offers to those that he redeems by his blood. And mine arm shall judge the people, for the owl shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. We are asked to hearken unto the Yahshua because a law and a judgment are to proceed from him. These are to be a light unto the people. Again, says the Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, meaning mountains of all nations, all the church organization of all nations, this is talking about the mountains of Israel, not of all the Catholic churches and so forth, because they're all being burned down, destroyed anyway. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahshua, unto the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his paths, for out of the Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Yahshua from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many a people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nations shall not rise lift up as a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:2-4. For the law is to go forth from the mountain, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, as set up in these last days, of the Yeshua's house, is established on the top of the mountains, parentheses, kingdoms, with an S on it, that's in all of the righteous nation, and when it is exalted above the hills, then the light shall cause the rebuked nations to flow unto the mountain of the Yeshua and their nation, and their individual nation, and instead of beating their plow shares into the swords and the pruning hooks into the spears, Joel 3:10, they will beat their swords into the plowshares and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Isaiah 2:4. To say, my righteousness is near and my salvation is gone forth, is to say that salvation has been here, but righteousness is about to come. And how true! What is the Yeshua's arm? It's the house of David, the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, where Yeshua is sitting upon the throne of David and his kingdom of David, as the lawgiver. He's the one fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 49:10, where it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, house of David, in the last day. Scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be, that judges the people, it says. What is the Yeshua's arm that judges the people? This we shall see as we read Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O arm, house of David, kingdom of Judah, arm of Yeshua, awake, as in the ancient days and the generations of the old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it that hath dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? How illogical it would be for the Yahweh to be trying to awake himself as, let's do it again. How illogical it would be for the Yeshua, our Redeemer and Savior, our Deliverer, to be trying to awake himself as though he or his own arm is asleep. This verse shows that he caused the Exodus movement his arm. Okay. Rightly so, because Yahweh, Yeshua does his work with his servants, like he did with Moses, his servant. Therefore are his arm, and they shall judge or rule the people, and the people shall trust on them. Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes unto the heaven, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heaven shall vanish away like the smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in the like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. We are necessarily reminded that all else shall perish, but those who obtain Yahweh's salvation, for those who obtain the the salvation of the Yeshua, the Son, through his blood, and his righteousness shall stand forever. Jeremiah 23:5. Isaiah 51:7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, for the people and whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of the reviling. For those who know his righteousness, the people unto whom this truth is revealed and who have his law in their heart obviously will suffer from the reproach and revilings of men, but they are admonished not to fear. And what shall be the end of their adversaries? Here is the answer. Isaiah 51:8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like the wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant from generation to generation. Plainly we pity our latest sin brethren who are so angrily but blindly against us. Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on the strength, O arm of the Yeshua, stone about the house of David in these last days. Mount Zion, the 12th hour, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. Awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried up the sea with the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Yeah, for his people are asleep. Then what need would there be for the calling them to awaken? Well, we are glad that the Yeshua himself is arousing us and plainly telling us that as our forefathers did great things, we too, as the Yeshua's arm, can and shall do even greater things than they. Isaiah 51:11. Therefore the redeemed of the Yeshua shall return and come with a singing unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Thanks be unto Yahweh that he is not only to awaken his people and to cause them to sing while marching in Zion, but is also able for the removing of their sorrows and their mourning forever. He is well able for the putting everlasting joy upon their heads. Isaiah 51:12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And an endeavor for the showing us how absurd it is for the fearing man that shall die, as does the grass under the foot. Inspiration in this verse emphasizes the promise, comfort of the Isaiah 51:11. For it must be that with some the fear of men is great. Now that we have Yahshua's word, the Son, and comfort, let us fear him who only is to be feared. Isaiah 51:13. And forgettest the Yahshua that let's do it again. And forgettest the Yahweh thy maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppression, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppression? When we begin to fear man. Just that moment we forget the Yahweh. For the question, where is the fury of the oppressor, implies that in reality there is not any, that it is only a bluff. Isaiah 51:14-15. For the captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am the Redeemer that divideth the sea, whose ways roared, for the Yeshua of the host, the Son, is his name. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but the Yeshua does not hope for the sea itself is divided. He divides it at will and causes his people to go through on the dry ground. Isaiah 51:16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heaven and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Here we have the Yahshua's own statement that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from him. Moreover, he assures us that his hand, his care, and keeping are around us, that by this means he may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Isaiah 51:17. Awake, put on thy, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of Yahshua the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of his trembling and wrung them out. Awake, awake, my friend, unto the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over. We are never again to go through them. He who divides the sea can indeed make us free. Isaiah 51:18. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. For the Zion's past and even present condition is now brought into the view for our consideration. What a desolation, what a terrible state for a church to be in after having brought forth many converts. There is not a one to give her a helping hand. Here we are told that the laity and Laodicea are not of any spiritual help unto the mother, the minister. No, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. They are all more or less in the agreement for the staying wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17. Isaiah 51:19. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? For the desolation and destruction and the famine and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? David of old was given to choose one of three things. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemy, while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days of pestilence in thy land? 2 Samuel 24:10-13. Now, in the like manner, Yahweh's people are asked to choose either the desolation and destruction or famine and the sword. Then, unlike in the David's day, himself solves our problem if we let him. These are some of the things which the Yahweh's people have gone through. Even now, some of these things still surround them. Our hope, nevertheless, is in the Yahweh's deliverance, Isaiah 51:20-22. For thy sons have fainted, they lie at the head of all the streets, as a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Yeshua, with the rebuke of thy Yahweh. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with the wine. This saith the Yeshua, and the son of the Yahweh, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Shall we not be thankful to know that everyone whose name is found in the book shall be delivered, even from the time of the trouble unto which we are soon to enter? For the Michael shall stand up for his people. That's Yahshua, Daniel 12:1. Once he gathers us, he shall never again scatter us. Isaiah 51:23. But I will put it, the cup of his fury, into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said unto thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over, and thou hast laid thy body as the ground, and as the street to them that went over. For the tables are turned, and what the Yahshua's people once had to take from their enemies must soon take from them. Let us therefore not neglect to take advantage of the Yahweh's plea of the deliverance. Yes, my friend, since our long and trying journey is at an end, let us ask the Yeshua's arm, his kingdom, the kingdom of David, give earnest need, Mount Zion at the 12th hour, give earnest need unto his awakening call. Now at the end of our long and trying journey, let us allow nothing to hold us back from the obtaining of the two things that are to make us stand forever for the Yahshua's salvation by his blood through the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10:19-20, and his righteousness, the new and living way. We are now asked to choose either to stand on the Yahshua's side or on the side of his adversaries, those whom we fear, those who are doing everything to close our eyes unto Yahweh's truth for this time, either to choose Yahweh, his spirit, and his revealed truth, or to choose man, desolation and destruction, the famine and the sword. This brings the end of Volume 1 of the Timely Greetings, number 37. And this is the end of our study for today. Count your many blessings. Bring up on my stories, you have changed this heart. In your the sky is thanking all his love. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what Lord has done. Are you as a burden with the load of care? Does a cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. And you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what Yah has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what Yah has done. And you look at others with their hands and gold. Think that Yahshua's promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven is your home on high. Count your blessings, name one by one. Count your blessings, see what Yah has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what Yah has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, Yah is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help in time protect you when the journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what Yah has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what Yah has done.
Patriarchs and Prophets, we're going to do chapter 4. The Plan of Redemption, page 63, Ellen G. White, the author. We're going to...